got the Sydney public transport blues.
Johnny Russell, the Sydney public transport blues. Well, if you are a commuter, I dare say you have got the public transport blues at the moment, particularly with train disruptions. Matt Keane, the New South Wales Treasurer, said this is all political, and yesterday in Parliament he had a spray at Shadow Treasurer Daniel Mookey concerning the train disruptions.
I think you and your union bosses unleashing industrial chaos on the people of New South Wales shows that you're not fit for government, shows that you're not ready to be able to manage the state in the public's interest rather than the union's vested interests. And this morning was a shocking example of that. Are you going to apologise to the people left stranded on Campbelltown Station this morning? Are you going to apologise to the people on Hornsby Station left stranded this morning? What we're seeing is exactly what the union's promised and Labor is delivering, the year of the strike, and it's disgraceful. And I'm going to sit here and call it out until you apologise to the people of New South Wales for you aiding and abetting this disgraceful action inconveniencing the public this morning.
That's New South Wales Treasurer Matt Keane having a shot at Shadow Treasurer Daniel Mookey in New South Wales Parliament, the bear pit as it's affectionately known. And on the subject of the trains, joining me now is Rail, Tram and Bus Union New South Wales Secretary Alex Classens, who's on the line. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Richard.
Look, do you feel you should be apologising to commuters? I mean, this has been going on for a long time now, Alex.
There's no doubt that the commuters are owed an apology, but that apology should be coming from Matt Keane and his ministers that have been involved in this. And as most people would know that have been following this, this particular issue has been going on for 6 years. These trains were ordered from South Korea 6 years ago. We had a promise from the then Minister, Andrew Constance. He stood there and did a press conference beside me and said, we're going to fix these trains, guards will be here to stay, we're not going to operate these trains driver only anymore, we're going to modify these trains, and we're going to get on with life. Now, that was 6 years ago. He got re-elected at that election, and then promptly cancelled the contract variation, and the first we knew about that was when those trains landed in Australia from South Korea, and they had not been modified. And as we all know, those trains were ordered as driver-only trains, so 10-carriage trains ultimately, with a driver sitting up the front trying to rely on CCTV to do the customer service and to make sure that people don't fall down between the train and the platform. Now, we said straight away, that's not going to work. We've got a 150-year-old network here. We've got massive gaps between the train and the platform due to the fact that we've got trains of different widths. We've got freight trains running through our network, as everybody knows. There is no way you can do that safely. So we've been having that fight ever since. So for the Liberal government to be sitting there and blaming the Labor Party, the union, me personally, is absolutely ridiculous. They've got to own up to this. They bought those trains deliberately, and they've refused to fix it. They've refused to acknowledge their mistake. And every time we get close to getting a deal with them, and the last occasion was on the 30th of June, where we had a deed of agreement, which I signed, and at the last minute, the Transport Secretary was advised by a different government minister not to sign it. So since then, we've had about four or five different ministers. As late as Thursday, I sat in a room with three ministers trying to resolve this issue, and I'm still trying to do that to at least get the deed done, which then guarantees they are going to fix the trains. And then we will go back to the negotiating table and do what we've always done every 3 years, is negotiate an enterprise agreement for better wages and conditions. But what they've tried to do, of course, is conflate this and put it all into the one basket. And we're saying we're not falling for that trick again. You've got to give us a written commitment you're going to fix these trains, because we want to maintain a safe network. For us people that work in the railway, and many of us have been doing it all our lives, we are very, very passionate about safety. We are the people that are dealing with those crises and those incidences when they happen. We have to look people in the eyes and say to them, look, your loved one's been hurt here. Nobody wants to do that, but we all have to do it at some point in the railway, because that's the nature of our railway from time to time, unfortunately. But when we can clearly see a train that's been bought that's going to create that, we're going to fight back.
Look, this is a sample of some of the feedback I've received in the last couple of weeks. This one came through this morning from Dennis. Most train networks, including Melbourne, don't have guards and operate successfully without guards and are also used by disabled without any hassles. Is that a statement that's totally incorrect, or is there some...
Absolutely it's totally incorrect, because when we had that commitment from Andrew Constance, he did that. Because a man came up from Victoria, a guy called Martin Stewart, he was in a wheelchair. He was a double amputee because a train in Melbourne did that to him because he fell down between the train and the platform. The train took off and ran over him. Now, that isn't... Melbourne trains are a lot different to ours. They're only single-deckers. They're short six-carriage trains. We run eight carriages, double-deckers, and we've got a totally different network. And, you know, I get a little bit frustrated about all these armchair experts that are not out here doing this stuff. Yes, you can make a totally safe train. Look at the Metro in Sydney, right? Purpose-built train. There is no way you can fall off that platform onto the tracks and get run over by the train. There are other issues with that train, of course, because it doesn't have any driver or guard on it, but it has been purpose-built. And so if you purpose-built any system, you can make it safe. Unfortunately, we've got a 160, 170-year-old railway system here that we're trying to retrofit with some modern technology, and they can't do it. And you've got to consult the people that work in the railway before you make these decisions. And in this case, they totally disregarded our view. You talk to the people at the ferries, they'll tell you they had the same problem. Ferries were ordered from overseas. They didn't consult the ferry masters. They didn't consult the deckhands. They didn't talk to anybody that worked in the system. You just take what we're giving you and be thankful for it, right? That's the sort of story we get all the time from the Transport Department and this government.
This is another query from a listener, Peter, who's rung me several times and again this morning. He's disabled, he's in a wheelchair. He said, at the moment, you know, with guards, they put the ramp out, etc. He can get on and off the train, but without guards, he's unable to do that. And for a lot of disabled people, if you don't have a guard, then they'll avoid travelling on trains. Is that, in fact, the case?
Look, 100%. I mean, like I said, I keep saying it. For us people who work in the railway, that's our life. We love doing the work we do. We are very proud of the work we do. And we do it for people like that. People that are in a wheelchair should be allowed to come and travel on our train network. We are a public transport service, and we should do that for everybody. People should be able to travel on our train safely. And, yes, some people will need assistance, but they should get that. That's what we're there for.
All right. Well, what happens in Melbourne with these trains that don't have guards for disabled people? How do they manage that?
Look, I'm not really sure, to be honest, Richard. I haven't spent a lot of time going to other states and looking at what they do. But, like I said, they're single-decker trains. So, as I understand, they still have platform staff. So, no doubt the platform staff will try and get them on the train.
Sure,
but, you know, I'm not sure about the other states' arrangements. I have enough trouble trying to make sure I'm across everything that happens in our state, to be honest.
Okay. Look, yesterday, your members refused to operate, I think it was 37 trains, saying that some of them didn't meet minimum maintenance standards, including they were graffitied. So, the drivers refused to drive those. Surely that's the sort of thing that really cheeses people off, Alex. I mean, look, just because there's a bit of graffiti on the train.
Oh, no, look, it wasn't just graffiti. That was reported slightly inaccurately. There was a couple of trains that had some obscene graffiti on it. And the railway does have a bunch of procedures in place to manage all of that. The real issue, of course, was that we identified a protected action, which was that train crew would only operate trains that met the maintenance standards. And when that was put into the calendar at the beginning of the month, we thought that would fail a few trains due to mechanical issues, et cetera, et cetera. And I was actually sitting there at the time thinking, oh, well, this is not going to mean much, because a lot of these Waratah trains are brand new. But what actually happened, and none of us really fully appreciated this until it started happening, what's happened is all these trains that have been bought from overseas, the government has actually outsourced the maintenance of those, and they've extended out the maintenance cycle. So all those Waratah trains, for example, the A and B sets, they don't get serviced every month like our other trains do. They actually have to run 60 days out in the network, and there's only one maintenance centre where those trains can get fixed at. So what actually happened with that action was when the train crew started saying, well, if they don't meet the maintenance centre standard, we're not going to operate them. So there was a whole bunch of trains that were failed with broken CCTV, doors that didn't operate properly, et cetera, et cetera. And then they couldn't get them to the maintenance centre to fix them. So again, it's all about the reporting of some of this stuff. And yes, there was some obscene graffiti. I mean, nobody wants to be running trains around with swear words on them and all that kind of stuff. And the railway does have pretty tough standards around that, and we're enforcing that.
Right. Look, back to where it started, and mm-hmm. that was Matt Keane suggesting this is all political. Chris Minns, Labor leader, yesterday said he didn't believe the industrial action should continue, and he's called for the government and your union to sit down and sort this out. I mean, you've been trying to do that for a long time. And certainly the way David Elliott, the Transport Minister, was talking on Friday, it seemed like he was confident it was all over. When are you going to get back together again and try and sort this out?
We haven't stopped meeting, Richard. That's a frustrating thing about, Chris Minns' comments. I mean, it's great to be sitting on the sidelines when you're not in government and critiquing things. But, I mean, the reality is we've been meeting on a regular basis, at least once a week. Like I said, Thursday I was in a room with three ministers. We've met several times with the senior managers after that because we had a lot of these issues with these trains failing and we weren't expecting that. We met on Sunday. We met again first thing yesterday morning. I'm meeting with them again this morning. Well, there's another full-on bargaining meeting with all the other unions. And don't forget, the negotiations around our wages and conditions are being done by six unions. The RTBU is not the only union in this space. There are six unions sitting at the negotiating table all day on Wednesday. And you're right about David Elliott. David Elliott has been the one minister that has fought really hard for us every step of the way. But every time he reaches an agreement with us, somebody else in another portfolio comes along and pulls the rug out from under him. So it's been a very frustrating process. And I think most people who have followed this understand it. And really the only people that should be blamed for this is the Liberal government not making a decision and sticking to it.
Alex Klassen's my guest, the Secretary of the New South Wales Rail, Tram and Bus Union. As far as commuters go today, what services are going to be affected today, Alex?
So as I understand it, the trains from Sydney to Newcastle will be running as per the normal weekend timetable, as close as they can get to that, provided all the trains stand up and there's no failures. I understand, though, that the Hunter services will not run during the 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. area, because the only depot that it can actually work those trains is the Hunter depot at the Newcastle interchange. And because they're on strike, there's nobody else that can go up there and drive those trains, unfortunately. But I have been told that they've organised buses as best as they can up there to try and supplement that, which is really, it is one of the few areas that we were not able, because what we've always tried to do is meet that commitment we made to the public. We will always try and run a service of the sort, so those people who've got no other alternative but to use our system will still be able to use it, albeit there will be some delays. And, certainly, like I said, a weekend timetable is better than no trains at all. But we would encourage everybody to make sure you check the timetables, make sure you give yourself plenty of time if you are going to come to Sydney today.
Thank you very much for your time this morning, and fingers crossed that this is all going to get sorted out sooner rather than later, Alex.
Look, we'll do our level best.
Alex Klassen's the New South Wales Secretary, the Rail, Tram and Bus Union. Yeah, fingers crossed that they can sort it out. Been going on for ages. It seems ridiculous, doesn't it?